Log Talk Radio.
You're listening to When Christians Speak Online Talk Radio, broadcasting out of the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. Today's voice crying out in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. When Christians Speak is dedicated to lifting up the name of Christ Jesus and spreading the good news. So it's not brother, can you spare a dime? My God shall supply my needs. Don't have to beg because I am a thief. Cause every good.
Amen, amen. Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord. Welcome to a Christian Speak Talk Radio. My name is Ray. This is Matters of the Heart Singles Ministry today. Amen. I'm joined so far by Brother Robert, Sister Renee, and of course we got our major host, Maggie and Wilson in the house, and I believe someone has just joined us. Amen. Let me just take them off mute here. Uh-oh. Amen. So I'm hoping everybody can hear us properly. Amen. Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So who's the person just join us? Who I'm speaking with? 3115. And then 3115.
This is Kalanton, though.
Oh, all right. Well, thank you for joining us today. Okay. All right. So, look, let's go ahead and get started. We're going to go open up in prayer. I'm going to call on Maggie to open us in prayer. Okay?
Okay. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. We bless you. We honor you. We thank you for a time like this that we are able to come together as singles and collaborate and share the gospel of Jesus Christ, that we'll be able to speak a reasonable hope to those who feel hopeless, Father God. We thank you and we bless you, Lord God. Lord, we ask that you speak to us on tonight, Lord, that we will edify and build each other up in your word. Lord, we thank you and we bless you now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Meg. I appreciate that. All right. Then I'm doing some multitasking, so just bear with me for a few more seconds, and my computer decided to take a vacation on us. But again, I'm glad that everyone is joining. We wait on a few more other people, but we can go ahead and get started. I do want to remind you about His Abounding Grace. It's every Tuesday, 7 p.m., Talents to Change with Pastor Paul Morgan. It's every Wednesday, 7 p.m. Declaring the Finished Work is every Thursday at 12 noon. Friday Night Joy is the first, the second, and the fourth Friday. Amen. Bread of Life is the first and the third Sunday. A weekly prayer that's called Midday Glory Prayer with Reverend Gwen Dixon. This is 1 p.m. This is a pre-conference call. The number is 267-807-9605. The access code is 732-499. Our monthly broadcasts are as follows. Lifeline with Apostle Shirley Jones. This is every first Monday at 7 p.m. Adoration with Evangelist Lewis Meckering is every third Monday at 7 p.m. And, of course, today is Matters of the Heart is every third Friday at 7 p.m. The Bold and the Beautiful is every second Saturday at 10 a.m. It's a broadcast gate for the young people. Hour 3, Real Life, Real Men, Real Talk is every second Sunday at 7 p.m. And that's more of a broadcast geared for the men. Marriage Takeover is every fourth Sunday at 7 p.m. And Spiritual Nuggets of Truth broadcast every second and fourth Monday at 8 p.m. And this is a new broadcast from Minister Carmen A. Booker, and she does more with the women ministry. So you can see what on Women Christians, we got a great selection, a buffet of different selection of broadcasts for different peoples and styles and everything. Okay, so let's go ahead and get started. Again, I'm glad that some of the panelists here with us and everything. And we had such a great time. I don't know about you, but I was laughing like crazy, man, when I went back and listened to some of the answers and some of the discussions that we were talking about earlier. But I'm excited about today and everything, and I'm so glad that those that are here can join us. And for anyone else, if you have a question that you like to ask or something that comes up that you want to participate, and you don't align, just press the number 1 for me also. Okay, so Omega, I'm not sure exactly what direction. I meant to get with you earlier to find out how we're gonna do this and everything like that. Because I know there were some questions that we didn't get. Okay, that we did not get a chance to ask. Okay, so I guess I can start off with first. Okay, are y'all everyone ready?
Yeah.
Cool. Yes.
All right. So it says, what boundaries of should be set in dating or relationship parameters should be set in dating or relationships? What boundaries? We can go with Robert, since you're the other brother in the house, we can go with you first, man.
Oh, man. Me? Okay. Well, it's funny because I was at the kitchen sink a few minutes ago, and the first thought that came to me was that first, in establishing boundaries, we have to know what we want, and we have to also know what we don't want. One of my favorite authors and teachers and preachers is Dr. Miles Monroe, and in talking about purpose once and writing about purpose once, he said, and I'm paraphrasing, basically he says, what purpose does is when you know what your purpose is, you know what you know what you want and you know what you don't want. You know what you need to do and you know what you don't need to do. And the same thing is, I believe the same principle applies with boundaries and relationships. Once you establish boundaries, once you know what you want and what you don't want, it's easy for you to accept or reject what another person offers you. For example, if you're a person who is prompt and you let them know, listen, I'm prompt. I don't like to be late. I'm real particular with my time because I know once it's gone, it's gone. So my time is precious to me. And if the person shows up 15 minutes late, 30 minutes late and haven't even called and let you know ahead of time, then, you know, okay, they've encroached the boundary. You know, they've already, you know, okay, it's like, okay, you know, we might have a problem here. And so, you know what you want and what you don't want. So you can just say after a couple of times, if you extend that much grace, then it's like, okay, this brother is not going to work out, or this sister is not going to work out. And then you can move on, you know, knowing that you've given that person a shot, that you've given them an opportunity, and it didn't work out, and you don't have to feel guilty about it because you knew what you wanted, they knew what you wanted, they decided not to give you what you wanted. That's it.
Yeah, thank you there, sir. Man, see, that's all I want you to go second, man. So we don't know what's going to come next out of Maggie and Renee and everything like that, so I'm just kidding.
I actually liked his answer, but the one thing I really do like is when you said that you have to state up front what is the purpose of the relationship. And when I was looking at some of the questions, the one thing that jumped in my head was, okay, what exactly is dating? And when we look at Christians dating, what is Christian dating? So I like when Robert said that you have to, you know, identify what your purpose is up front. What is the purpose of this relationship? And then once you let the purpose be known up front, then you're able to set those boundaries in place. Because if it's like, hey, we're just hanging out as friends, and, you know, I'm not looking for a relationship with you, then we're not dating. We're just friends. But even in that friendship, there should be boundaries as well.
Yeah. Did you want to expand a little more on that, or are you okay? I'm sorry.
To me?
Yeah.
So if we go to dating, now I'm very old school when it comes to as far as being a believer, because I think that, you know, if I look at the word dating, I refer that back to the world. But if I'm dating as a Christian, then it's not that I'm just going to hop from relationship to relationship to relationship. I date with a purpose, and that purpose is to mate. If I meet someone that I'm interested in, before I start getting all emotionally involved, I go to the Lord and say, hey, you know, I start seeking the Lord, because if the Lord lets me know right up front that, no, this is not who you're going to marry, then I'm not going to waste my time going any further in a relationship where I would get emotionally involved. But I may pursue a relationship as far as a friend. But I would let that person know that, you know, hey, let's just be friends.
Okay. All right. Maggie?
So, can y'all hear me?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So, I agree with you guys. However, I was taught, and it probably definitely go in line with what you're saying, Renee, is that, you know, you date with a purpose, right? My spiritual mother, who's gone on to be with the Lord, taught us that you date multiples until you see which purpose, with the purpose, if that's making sense. Basically, she's saying you go out on date, and it goes back to defining date, because everybody's definition of date is different. So once you, like Robert said, you set those parameters, you set your expectations, now we understand what we're dating or why we're dating, then we go back to my spiritual mother taught us. You go out on a date, you meet somebody, you go out on a date. You're not exclusive with that person. So you can go out on other dates, okay?
Yes.
When you decided that you want to be exclusive with that person, after, like you said, you guys haven't had this conversation, y'all agreed that we want to just date each other and nobody else, and we have the understanding, we have set that goal in mind with hopefully marrying somewhere down the line, then now we become exclusive. So we're not dating other people. We're just seeing one another, and we're building that relationship, hope for the marriage to be, you know, the end result. A lot of times people don't, you know, go back to what Robert said. A lot of times people don't set that in place that, or they don't even tell the truth. You know, my thing is, if you put it out there and tell the truth, I'm going to be dating other people. I'm not just going to date you. I'm cool with that. But if you're going to tell me I'm just dating you and we're dating because I want to, you know, make something, I want to build something out of this, but then find out you're dating other people, then that's a whole other thing. But that's not the question, so I'm going to stick to the question.
Yeah, okay. So when I look at that particular question, one of the things I have that I'm thinking about right now as I look at that question again is basically what we're doing, it sounds like, is that we're setting forth rules and everything with boundaries, or like what we used to do as kids, Renee, but you can't cross this line, and, you know, like that, or you can't do this, or you can't, you set forth a lot of came forth and everything. And I guess those rules or boundaries or perimeters are used to keep a balance, or also to protect, as a protection, you know, and everything like that. And especially with dealing with the singles, I do believe that singles do need, I said singles, like I'm not single, but singles do need boundaries in place as believers, to protect us against our flesh, you know. So when I think about boundaries and I don't know why I can't get this word right today and everything, but
what is it?
Perimeters. Thank you. Who was that? That had to be Maggie. Yeah. So when I think about things like that, then I think about is, okay, these are things that's from a believer, from a biblical principle, that's put in place to protect myself and to protect others also, you know. Because as Robert, you know, man, we are visual, you know. we visual. Look, let's be transparent and let's call it like it is, that we are very visual when it comes to things, man. And there was a article on Facebook that hopefully it's just have gotten taken down. I'm not sure it did, but it was a big controversial mess for those that's on Facebook. Okay. And it was a young lady that was basically half naked, and the caption was about her going to church like that, and the ministers put her out of the church. There, I come to find out that the picture was stolen from her site. She's a model, that kind of stuff. But the picture was stolen from her site and used in that area to start a conversation, but it was used without her permission. And the picture basically was a fake. It was fake, and she wasn't going to church. She was modeling to make a long summary of things short. But the thing is, the way that she was dressed would go against the normalcy of boundaries and that kind of thing. Now, and one of the statements that I made in a comment is that the gentleman said that if someone like that acts, not her in particular, but someone actually came to church and looking like that, where you can see all the way up her butt like that, that how many men would be focused on Jesus Christ?
Right.
And, you know, and the truth of the matter, our focus will be on what we see visually. And I mean, I was always told that it's not the first look that do you in, Robert. I don't know if you know about that, but it's the second look, you know. And many men, I don't care whether they visual, be hard not to take that second look and everything. And that was, I think, that where the boundaries and those type of things are needed so that you don't get tempted in any kind of situation, like whether it's the church or whether it's just a setting or whatever, you know, even the way that we dress, you know, when we connect as in dating, you know, can be a distraction, you know, before we even start talking about a relationship, the way you dress, you know, so we have to be very careful and mindful of all those things. And I've already probably said more than I wanted to say about that. But anyone else has any questions?
I want to tap onto that a little bit, you know, also okay. That, you know, when dating, especially as Christians, because we're speaking to, you know, audience of Christians, this is a Christian platform, we have to be mindful and cautious on how we date and setting boundaries and setting, you know, where we, you know, how long are we going to be out on a date, where we're going to go, what we, you know, what activity or what things are we going to do, you know, because all of that is a part in it too, because you don't want to succumb to the tactics of the enemy and fall into temptation. So those are some things that need to be considered as well when setting parameters or setting boundaries, because, you know, we're spirit, we're in the body, but we're flesh. And like you said, men are visual. So it's how, you know, you know, and let's keep it real. And this is a real platform. You know, we keep it real. Everybody godly say they godly and godly because somebody's struggling with their flesh and they want to, and they just want to, they want a booty call. So you got to be careful.
What? No, just
kidding. Yeah, I said it. You got to be careful for as godly women and godly men, because there are some men who are pure and who are saving themselves.
Right.
Go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. Go ahead and finish.
And there's some women, you know, we should be pure and we should be saving ourselves, but a lot of us, you know, some people are still straddling the fence. So it's like you have to be careful. If you know you have a weakness, you have to know how to date. You need to prepare yourself ahead of time. And you have to set these boundaries if you don't plan on falling into these areas.
Mm-hmm.
I think you also have to, you know, you really have
to. I'm sorry.
Yeah, she's cracking up, Renee. I'm sorry. She's over there cracking up and stuff. Go ahead.
I think another thing also is to look at your intent. And I'll give an example. You know, when I first got saved, I was strong, hardcore, and I did not come into this walk as an innocent person. And so when I gave my life to the Lord, I was strong for him for 3 years. And, you know, we really have to be cautious of the flesh and the spirit, just like Maggie was saying. And I had started seeing this guy. He was a pastor, And, you know, we started just hanging out, you know, talking after church, hanging out in between services. And then, you know, I had never invited him to my place. He had never invited me to his. And we had talked on the phone and had been seeing each other for quite some time. I want to say it was a while. And so, you know, one night, so after I had said, hey, why don't you, we can hang out at my place tomorrow. The night before, I was, the thing was bothering me, and you know, it was literally a war. And I'm not trying to sound super deep or anything like that. I'm just being real and telling you the experience that I was going through. And even as I talk about it, I still have the visual where I was living. I was laying on my bed this night, and one part of me was like, Lord, listen, it's been 3 years. You haven't sent a husband. I've been faithful to you. You know how I came into this. This is what's going to happen tomorrow. And the other part of me, the spirit, I mean, I literally felt this tug of war inside of me. And the spirit was like, Lord, please help me. I don't want to disappoint you. I don't want to hurt you. I don't want to do this. Please help me. The other part was like, no, I'm doing this because, you know, come on. It's been 3 years. You know, when are you going to see my husband? So to make a long story short, as Christians, we always have to let our spirit dominate our flesh, because if we don't, then that flesh is going to rule and the flesh is going to get its way.
Yeah.
If the spirit dominates, and the only way the spirit is going to dominate is if we saturate ourselves with the word, if we are constant in prayer, if we're seeking the Lord, and I'm not just talking about when we want to do something, if our life is that of prayer, fast, and seeking the Lord in the word, then, you know, our spirit will grow stronger and stronger, and we will, look, the Bible says to be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. You know, our mind is renewed when we saturate ourselves with the things of God. But if we're not doing that, and if we're continuing, you know, we're slowly hanging out with this person who's worldly, or our friend here that's worldly, eventually we're going to get into the flesh. And needless to say, that's what happened that night. And but the guilt behind it, you understand what I'm saying? Because when you fall into temptation and you don't take it out, because I could have easily said, you know what, let's not hang out tomorrow night. Or when that day came, I could have said, you know, I don't think you need to hang out tonight. But I didn't at all. But it's not even worth it when you deal with the guilt afterwards. And then the guilt was so bad, I was like, I didn't want him to leave, not because I wanted him around. It was because I did not want to be alone and to deal with the hurt that I had caused God. I didn't want to deal with that. I didn't want my conscience. I didn't want to have to deal with any of that. So I found, I'd say, hey, just spend the night. And I didn't want him to, because after the act was committed, I didn't even want to do anything with him anymore. I just didn't want to deal with, I didn't want to face God by myself. I didn't want to face the hurt and the shame from it.
Wow.
That's powerful. And that's true. And those are the things that this platform is about. We need to be transparent in that way, because so many people are struggling in that area. Paul, I believe it's Papa Paul that said, there's a war going on in my members. The good that I would do, you know, I find myself doing evil anyway. So we go to that thing, but then because of that war between our flesh and our spirit, because we, like you said, we haven't prayed, we haven't really, you know, stayed before the Lord and really consecrated ourselves. That's what it is living a consecrated lifestyle. We find ourselves struggling in that area, because I too once had that struggle. Thank God I've been delivered. But I know the feeling, the guilt, and the shame after the fact. And I'm like, Lord, I never want to feel that again. Because when you grieve the Holy Spirit, that is not a good feeling. When I tell you that is not a good feeling, that is not a good feeling. And I never want to feel that again. So I'm with you on that. Because it has happened. And it's happening to people across the country, those who are listening. We understand, but you don't have to stay in that state. Amen?
Exactly.
Amen.
Exactly.
Amen.
And you know, the beautiful part is that the Lord is just saying, hey, just repent and move on.
Mm-hmm. But,
and the enemy will just constantly beat you. You did this, you did this. And then so in addition to the enemy beating you, then you have your own conscience beating you. And that pushes you further and further away from going to the Lord and repenting and saying, hey, please forgive me. Help me get this together. And then it's like, okay, I'm out here now. It's, you know, God is, so all he wants us to do is just come to him and say, hey, please forgive me. I'm so sorry. Please help me. And then, and once you go through that and you get back, you say, okay, I'm okay, then you can go for another year or two. And I'm talking, this has been 20 years ago. I don't want you guys to think this is something that just happened. This is, you know, like 20, 25 years ago. But then, you know, you have to recognize when there are vulnerable periods in your life. Because when you are vulnerable, like when my father passed, that was a vulnerable period for me. And that's when I had a friend that, you know, came along, you know, and we started talking and whatnot. I'm so grateful to God that God did not let it go where it could have went. But it was a vulnerable moment. And so I think that as we go through different trials, and every trial is not going to make us vulnerable. It's just certain things that can make us vulnerable. And at that time, like I said, my father had passed, and my father and I were very close, so I really missed him, and it was like, I missed my dad. And through that loophole, that vulnerability was a moment where I could have just given completely into the loneliness. But God is faithful, and he didn't allow it to go so far. So even as we, I don't care how far, how long we go in the Lord, how long we're saved as single women and men, I'm assuming, they're going to be vulnerable periods, and we have to be able to recognize those vulnerable periods. And at those vulnerable periods in our life is when we have to really make sure we are saturating ourselves with the presence of God, the Word of God, fasting, and just being around people, and just even saying, hey, having a close friend that, listen, I'm at vulnerable right now. Be praying for me because, you know, it's hitting hard.
Amen. Okay. And by the way, we're going to move on in a minute. By the way, men are vulnerable too, okay? All right?
Okay.
We're not saying much, you know, we're vulnerable too, you know. You put us in certain situations. I used to be in a place where I used to tell people, even tell myself, that there's certain things you that we can't do as men, you know, in certain environments that we shouldn't put ourselves in as men also. And so, yeah, but men have been vulnerable too. I think all of us, if you're in the flesh, and if you're made of flesh and blood, you're vulnerable. To put it a different way, amen. But thank you guys for sharing on that. We guys can go ahead and move on. I'm not sure. I thought that we had asked this question before, but I'm gonna ask it again. This is who, and I know the answer to this, and I know what most of the panel is gonna say. And again, I want to say if you've just joined us, we're looking for a couple more people. If you just joined us, press number one, and that let me know you have a question or concern you want to bring up, okay? But the next question is, who should pay for the first date? Should it be Dutch or should a man pay, okay? Yeah, should it be Dutch or should a man pay? Now, I want to go first with this one, okay? On the first date, why y'all laughing over there, man? On the first date, I believe that the man should pay, okay? I was talking to a young lady earlier, and I asked her that question. So who should pay for the first date? And she said that, of course, her answer was, it should be the man. It depends on how we going out. If we just hanging out, then we can go Dutch. I don't need nobody to pay my meal. But if it's a date, he said, can we go on a date? Guess what? He should pay.
Yeah.
But I say with the way things are today, that has been sort of ripped apart, you know, because you just don't know now, you know, whether a man wants to pay or whether the female says, like, no, I'll pay. I got it. You know, let me pay. Or there may be a female say, look, okay, I'm taking you on a date. I'm going to pay. Yeah, that's another question. Okay, if a female asks a man, look, can we go out on a date? Should the female pay or should a man still pay? So I'm going to go open it up and we're going to start with Maggie. We're going to start with you.
Well.
I heard some laughing in the background. Go ahead.
I was laughing, but I will say this. I'm not paying for my first date. Now, we go out a few times and I, you know, and I'm like, okay, well, you know, he's paying for everything. Then I may say, can I pay the bill? But for the first date, I'm not paying for the first date. That's my take.
But what if you asked him out?
First of all, I'm not asking him out on no first date. That's with Maggie. Okay. Well, we don't go out on a date because he asked me.
Okay.
Now, if we went on a multiple date and I feel like, oh, I may ask him, what are you doing? Let's go out tonight. Then yes, I will pick up the tab. I don't have a problem with that. But for the first thing, no.
Okay, all right. Renee,
can you ask Robert? We haven't heard from Robert in a minute.
Robert was the first person to ask the question. What are you trying to say, man?
I answered the first
question. That
question.
I didn't hear him answer this question.
All right. So, part of this is going to go back to the topic about boundaries, parameters and boundaries, but it also goes into something that's more closely related, which is expectation. Traditionally, the man, obviously, without question, pays for the first date because he's asking for time with her. He's asking for time to build relationship, you know. So that's kind of like a no-brainer. However, things have gotten so complex today that you really can't, I don't think personally, you can make it a blanket statement. Because sometimes what happens is there are some underlying things going on. Like, I don't have a problem paying for the first date. I don't have a problem paying for all the dates. The thing is, sometimes you got to wonder, okay, I'm paying for these dates. We're going out. We're doing this. I'm buying flowers. That's a whole other story. That's another question anyway. Okay, we can be totally cool with that. But what if the woman feels on edge or uneasy because she feels if he keeps taking me out on dates and paying for the dates, he's going to expect something later. So I don't feel comfortable with him always paying unless we have the proper communication, which goes back to the parameters, having these discussions up front. Because one of the things that helps with parameters and boundaries is having these upfront conversations. Now, as it pertains to this question, it should be upfront. Hey, it shouldn't be assumed. You would think it should be assumed, but it shouldn't be. But it's like, okay, listen, I want to take you on a date. You know, no strings attached. You know, I'm paying for everything. Let's go on a date. Again, we shouldn't have to say I'm taking care of it, I'm paying for it. You know, but in this day and age, you never know, because what I've learned over the past couple years is that people, and I've learned I have some too, people have triggers.
Right.
And we can trigger someone without even knowing it. So
right.
Short answer is the man's pay for the day.
What do you mean by triggers? I understand what trigger means.
Mm-hmm.
But what do you mean by trigger as far as what?
Okay, for example, let's say a man said, hey, let's go out on a date, you know, it doesn't matter where they go, you go on a date. The woman can feel at ease because in a previous, whether the last person they dated or a previous date, somebody took them to a fancy restaurant or somebody took them somewhere, and then after the date, they were expecting something from the woman. Right.
Okay, so are we talking about Christian dating or just dating? Because why? So, and the reason I ask that is because,
go ahead.
Because Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, what, the thing is, I can understand wanting to differentiate worldly dating from Christian dating, but if we're going to keep it 100 on this radio show, which I know we should, we got to understand that sometimes there is no line drawn, or there's no boundary between Christian dating and regular dating. I can remember years ago going on Christian dating sites, talking to the church secretary or the church administrator, and them sending me naked pictures without me even asking
for
them. So we can say Christian dating versus regular dating or worldly dating, but in some cases, there's no difference between the two. That's why I didn't differentiate.
Right.
So I'm unfortunate, but it's real. And right. So we have to be, you know, so on for the man's part, it can be somewhat safe that, you know, of course it should be assumed that we're paying for the date, but, you know, sometimes it may help to say, hey, you know, I'm not asking for anything in return, or there's no strings attached. I just want you to know, listen, this is something I only want you to think about. I'm asking you on a date. I'll take care of everything, and just leave it at that. And in most cases, you would say in a perfect world or in a Christian world, that shouldn't be necessary. But if a person has had a bad experience in the past, they'll either say, oh, no, I'm not interested in going on a date, or they'll say, oh, no, I want to pay, or no, I want to pay my part, or I want to go Dutch. And it's like, no, you know, that's nonsense. You don't have to go Dutch. But they want to because they don't want to give they don't want to make themselves, is this word, vulnerable or feeling like they have to reciprocate with something, whether it's sex or whether it's a hug or whether it's a kiss or whatever. It doesn't have to be the extreme, but some people may feel on edge about going on a date and the man paying for everything. But I think the man should pay for it. But again, to not trigger some things or to set the woman at ease, just let them know, hey, I'm taking care of everything.
Robert, going back to you, and let me do this real quick, man. That was just good.
Oh my God!
Did he just give me applause for that? Come on, man.
Why you didn't do that when Maggie and I made comments? You didn't take our comments with words on the phone.
Okay, Robert, go back. Robert, go right to you, man. With that question that I asked Maggie, what if the woman asks you out on a date? What if the female asks you out on a date, man? Would you still feel obligated to pay? Huh?
No, I will accept the date. However, it's going to be an issue with me. It's going to be an issue with me letting her pay, only because most of us are familiar, if not all of us are familiar with the five love languages.
Mm-hmm.
I already knew it before five love languages even came out. I knew this ever since a child. But I score the lowest as far as gifts, receipt of gifts. It's hard for me to receive gifts, and it's hard for me to receive encouragement or compliments. So for a woman to pay for a date and me accept, that's extremely hard, especially on the first date. I'm like, that's okay. I really appreciate the gesture. But that's my makeup, and I know everybody's not that way. And if I was one that I score high on gifts, receiving a gift, I'm like, oh, bless the Lord. God's going to bless you hundredfold for paying for this first date. But that's not my testimony right now.
Right. Okay. All right, Renee, finally, we get to you. But also, Robert made me think about something else. All of you made me think about something else when it comes to paying on the first date. What if the brother ain't got no money, you know, not working or whatever and stuff like that? Then, how do you, huh? Because maybe he want to spend some time with you, you know, he just want to talk with you and just, he's interested in you like that. But the best he could do is McDonald's, you know. Look, don't laugh. Y'all know this is real out here, you know. He's a Christian. He's in the church. Maybe an usher or something like that. But he just lost his job. He don't have any money. But he's interested in you.
Why he got to be an usher? He could be a bishop with no job.
Maggie.
Why he gotta be a usher? He could be a bishop with no job.
Maggie, I'm gonna put you on mute. No, I'm just kidding. No, it could be anybody. It could be they're not working. Would you, and I'm going to start with you, going back to you first, Renee, because I know I'm throwing several things at you at the same time. Would you go out with him knowing that you're going to probably end up having to pay because you realize you know his father's financial situation and he don't have the money? And going back to the first question, who should pay on the first date? Should it be Dutch or should the man pay? And also, would you ask a man out on a date?
Okay, so several things. It goes back to, are we dating or is it exclusive or are we just friends? If we're just friends and hanging out, then I don't have a problem, doing Dutch, or if we're just friends, I don't have a problem even paying. If it's like we've went out with several people and we decided that, okay, it's just going to be, we're going to be exclusive, or then I expect him to pay. But, I expect him to pay. Especially if he's asked me out, I'm going to hit every single one of your questions. Would I ask a guy out? No, because to me, I think that, if we are both, it shouldn't. I think the man is the one who should be doing the pursuing, and then I'm also I said this before. I'm old school. I don't think I would not feel comfortable asking a guy out on a date. If it's just a friend, again, no problem. It's because it's like, hey, let's go hang out. Let's go get back something to eat. And I have a friend that I'll call him up sometimes. Like, hey, what you doing? You want to go grab something to eat? Yeah, no problem. But he always ends up paying. I don't have a problem with that either. But a couple of times I did pay. But if it's someone that I'm interested in, and you know me, I'm very shy. One, I'm not even going to let him know I'm interested in him. So I definitely am not going to let him ask him out. But then as far as, I answered two of the questions. What was the third one?
Okay. Well, the main question was, who should pay on the first date?
It depends. The man.
Okay.
The man.
No applause.
Huh?
And I like Robert's answer.
You want some applause? I gave you the short version.
Because you didn't really want to give it up, okay?
I think that one question, well, we're on question number two, and really that first question took up most of the time.
I know. I'm sorry, guys. That's me. Because Maggie let me go first. Maggie let me go first. Okay. All right. So let's go on. Maggie, did you have anything to add, or are you good?
I'm good.
Good? All right. Yeah, because it's already 7:43. It says, in dating, should a man buy her roses or just flowers?
Yeah.
I thought we talked about this, too. But
let's
I don't know.
Start with Robin.
Huh?
Let's start with Robin.
Robin, they're ganging up on you, man. You know?
I know. It's like, see, what they're doing is they're making up. See, they're taking all the pressure off of you from all of the previous radio shows. Now that you got a brother on, now you got a partner, now you got some more testosterone up in here. It's like, oh, let's go after Robert now. See, I know why Maggie's saying that, but anyway. So this goes back to something that we haven't talked about yet, but I think, I don't know if it's in the questions or not. The key in relationships and the key in dating, and I think I said it earlier, though, well, I alluded to it, is that you have to define the relationship.
Right.
Because because again, and I'm reading this book now, and I just read this today. I'm reading this book called Emotionally Healthy Spirituality. It's by this pastor in New York. And he's a psychologist. Is this the one? He's a psychologist. I can't remember. But anyway, he talks about how critical and how dangerous expectations can be in a relationship.
Right.
And some of the keys that he said as far as expectations are, one, they're unconscious, unrealistic. Three, unspoken. Four, unagreed upon. So how this relates is women like number one, all women don't like flowers. Two, all women don't like roses. Some women like flowers, but they don't like roses. Three, some women are allergic to flowers or roses. So for a man to just assume that she wants flowers and show up at her door on a date and she's allergic, boom, what happens? You might have a situation like Hitch in the movie Hitch, where Will Smith is allergic to nuts, and you say swole all up. I know I'm going extreme, but it could happen. So for a man to assume that she likes roses or flowers, now he done spent money on roses and flowers, and she don't even like them. Because the next time he visits her, or they're doing a Zoom call, and he looks, and it's like, what happened to the roses that I bought you the other day? Or the flowers I bought you the other day? Oh, I throw them away. I don't like flowers. So then he like, man, I could have used that money for another date. or a dessert on our next date or whatever. You know, because he made an assumption. Now, if he, and let's say he doesn't, he's not one, because, man, we compartmentalize stuff. And sometimes we assume if we don't like something, then we're not going to do it or we're not going to buy it. So then he doesn't buy roses, and she's expecting roses, but she never said in any of their conversations leading up to the date, I like flowers or I like roses or, you know, it would be neat. I haven't gone on a date in a while. I haven't had flowers in a while. You know, even though she's not saying she wants him, she's at least giving him a hint, right? So that's not a blanket. You can't really make a blanket statement there with an answer as far as should a man buy roses with just flowers. What if she doesn't want them and he buys them? Or, again, going back to something Ray said, what if he kind of short on cash? It's like, okay, if I buy these flowers, then we're going to have to share the entree. Or we can go to a restaurant, but it's going to be drive-thru. You know? So you never know. So you really can't make a blanket statement and say yes or no.
Right.
But I'm going to leave it right there so that somebody else can join
in. Yeah, because I'm ready to chime in. I got to chime in because I'm more than I'm going to say this. The question says specifically, in dating, should a man buy her roses or flowers? It's either yes or no. When you're dating someone, you're finding out information about them, so you will kind of know if the person likes flowers or not. But we sticking to the question at hand. In dating, and again, should a man buy her roses or flowers? It's either black or white, yes or no.
Maggie.
I understand. Let me speak. Everybody else had the floor. Let me have the floor, please.
Yes, ma'am. My bad.
I understand about the point, and he has a very valid point, okay? But then there are men who don't, even when she does, and won't, because he does. That's something that he doesn't do, but she has set that expectation. Remember, we talk about expectations, that these are things that she likes when she's dating someone. So when you have someone who likes these things and you're dating them, what do? Do you not buy them, or are you just like, I don't know. Anybody can chime in after that.
No, you mean as far as men buy flowers, we have to be, again, and I get what you're saying. I know this question. I've looked at the question several times. I get it. Okay. But there's a gray area to that question. There's a gray area, which is what I think what Robert is saying. There's a gray area to that question, because if she doesn't like flowers, and you or don't like roses or anything like that, or she's allergic, or her lip pups up the size of her nose and everything, then you done messed up, okay? If you were dating, there may never be no more dating anymore, okay? But I think also with the question, gets at is the core of what we're talking about as far as dating. You know, at what point is it time for something, because what roses represents, it represents love and affection and that kind of thing. Well, flowers just say that I'm thinking about you. I guess it depends on the flowers. You know, it's just plain flowers or daisies or whatever,
okay.
And something, whatever the case may be. So, but if you send someone roses, that's more of an intimate, especially if they red roses, that's more of an intimacy type of thing, you know. And if you're not going in that direction, you're just going through the dating phase of learning each other, it may be too soon to send that because it might send the wrong message.
But then get up on the other one. I feel you. But understand, it goes back. I'm not disagreeing with you. It goes back to what we all are saying in dating. So if in dating we're learning the person, if we decided that this is someone that we want to be exclusive with, then these are some of the things that you need to learn, whether or not they would like it or they won't like them, whether or not he wants to buy them or that's something that he doesn't do. These are conversations you have when you're dating.
Okay. Can I interject for a moment?
Sure you could. That's what this is about.
So earlier you said, you know, I don't know if you're still of this opinion or not, but you would thought that you go out on all the dates. You date multiple people. So what is she dating five or six other people when she already getting roses and flowers? Why I got to add to the bunch so our house looks like a funeral home or something?
Oh, my God, that is funny. Yeah, why should you? Did you say why should you?
Why should I? If she got, like, already got five or six people sending her roses and flowers. But I'm joking, right? But
I know you.
I'm gonna be transparent for a moment. So when I was married, I never bought my wife roses. She didn't like. I had this question. I had asked her this, I think, when we were dating, or actually not dating, but even when we were courting, and she didn't like roses. She preferred lilies. She preferred lilies over roses. And so a couple of times I bought her lilies. And it's actually a couple of times I even bought her roses. But it took me years to do so because in my mind, this was my thinking then. It's like, why should I buy her roses or flowers and they're going to be dead in 5 days? I'd rather buy her something that lasts, right? Because that's the man's thinking. Y'all know we think different. And it's like, why I could buy her something that lasts, right? But then I was reading in a book on marriage or something one day. I was reading where they were talking about this very subject. And it says, when a man buys a woman flowers, even though he knows that in a few days they're going to die, she appreciates them because she's saying, what this says to her is that even though he knew that this was something that wasn't going to last, he was willing to invest money on something that was going to die in a few days, and she appreciates it more. I was like, oh, that's deep. But it's stupid. I ain't doing it. But it made sense. But then I was like, but nah, I ain't wasting my money. Nah, I ain't doing it. But although I did end up doing it a couple of times, it was hard. But it was like, Robert, it's not about the money you spent. It's the money that you're investing to let her know that I know that this is not going to last but for a week or so, but she knows that you put the effort out. But in my mind, it was like, yo, this is so stupid because they're going to be dead in a week, and I could have spent this money. Because even now, the practical thing is like, I could have used that to get her an oil change or fill a gas tank up. But anyway, let me let somebody go.
All right. Okay, Renee. Ready.
That was funny.
So, I'm laughing because I just learned something tonight. I just learned that there is a difference between roses and flowers. Because if I was dating someone and they sent me roses, I would not have thought that it was a more intimate meaning. I would have thought it was the same as flowers. So, you know, wow. I don't even know how to answer that question because they're both the same to me. But there's a meaning behind them now that's like, okay, I was a klutz. I did not know.
So all them young men that were sending you roses was trying to send you a message. No, just kidding.
So you know how stuff go over my head. I'm clueless a lot of times. So,
that's okay.
Yeah, it's going over my head.
Yeah.
So I guess now with that definition, I think that roses should be sent if there's intention of a permanent relationship. Then yes, right. Send roses. But if you guys are just dating and, you know, you want to send her flowers, then send her the flowers. Or right. Change my oil. You know, someone wants to get my oil changed. I prefer that over flowers, Robert. Yeah, I like that.
But you know what? I want to go back to, I know, Maggie, we got to move on. But I want to go back to something Robert said about that, Maggie, he's right. You did say earlier about multiple dating, okay? Because we know, what we talked about on the last broadcast, that dating is the gathering of information, all right? So if either the man or the woman is going on multiple dating and it's not inclusive, I mean, like, I'm with Robert. Do you still want to get flowers? You know, every time someone is interested in you, huh?
You asked me, do I still want to get flowers if I'm dating multiple people?
Yeah, from multiple people.
Well, I say it like this. I like flowers. I buy my own flowers. Y'all see, I post them all the time. I buy my own flowers. So I don't need nobody to buy me flowers. But if you trying to get on my good side, you want to get me some flowers.
Yeah, but if you get them from multiple sources, then what, you just...
Then what?
I don't know. It goes right to a question when a woman is engaged, and I know this is not on our list, but if a woman gets engaged and the engagement doesn't work, should she give back the ring?
It's an investment. If he wants his ring back, it's an investment. I got fun. They're going there. If they get engaged and they want to give that ring back, honey.
Yeah.
Yes.
Give the ring back. Because I know people that said, nope, I'm collecting them. It's gold, silver that has value. They ain't getting it back. They might not get it back. And these are believers. So, you know, but everybody has a different opinion. You know, everybody has a different opinion and stuff like that. Okay. All right, Maggie. Since I've talked most of the things, you want to go to the next one or no?
Are you going to put me out there? Okay, I'm just wondering.
Yeah,
did you ask this question last time? I don't remember this question being asked. I guess we're going on to the next one. Cause I'm, should a man be responsible for... Did we ask that question last time?
No, we didn't get to that, I don't think.
Okay, so should a man... Okay, so now we're talking about exclusively because we got when they're dating.
Right.
Should a man be responsible for taking care of a woman financially when they're dating or if they're exclusive? I'm going to put exclusive. I'm going to take dating out and put exclusive.
Nah. Let's leave it the way it is.
I don't want to leave it the way it is because let's leave it the way it is. Fine. Should a man be responsible for taking care of a woman financially when they're dating? Now, let's remember Boaz and Ruth, and that's all I'm going to say. Go ahead.
Could you repeat that? I didn't hear what you said.
I said, let's remember Boaz. But anyway, who we want to start with? Let's start with you, Renee.
No.
Okay.
No, I don't think a man should take care of a woman unless they are married, financially, unless they're married.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if they're dating, he should be making sure her car is clean and all of that. But, I mean, if they're exclusive, then, yeah, he should be taking care of her car as far as cleaning it.
Okay.
But... even if they're exclusive, I don't think he should be taking care of her financially until they're married.
Okay.
What about if they're engaged?
We didn't put that in there, but okay.
Yeah.
If they, again, and see, I'm coming from old school because, you know, my father raised me, you don't take money from a man. So,
right.
If they are engaged, to me, until they are married, then, mm-hmm. you know, they're not married yet. Because even with right. engaged, that engagement could be broken.
Right.
But if they're married, then yeah. Engaged, no. No.
So, and I'm
if you want to. Go ahead. No, I'm good. Go ahead.
Okay. So, I'm in agreement with you. I definitely, I'm just throwing this out there because I've heard women say this. But before I say this, I'm going to wait. I'm going to hold my peace. I'm going to let one of the men speak. Robert or Ray?
Crickets.
You got crickets? Okay.
Yeah, I got crickets.
Okay, Robert, what's on you?
No.
Okay. You want to say anything behind your no, or you just want to leave it at that?
No, so that we can get to other questions. No is enough.
Okay. Ray, you still got crickets, or you got something else to say?
No, I guess it's crickets. That's all.
All right, totally agree that a man should not take on the responsibility of taking care of women financially while they're dating. I think that sends too many mixed messages, especially if Christian dating. I mean, though, unless
right.
you're a Christian lady, and then you're a Christian, you know. But and what some are. I think that that's something that needs to be discussed if they're exclusive, and if you're going towards you know, getting married. Once you're married, then you set you know who's going to take care of what responsibility. In the marriage, I don't. But some men, I've heard men say this, and these are men in our age group. I've heard them say that you know, they want to be the one to take care of the woman financially. And then I heard women say they're not dating a man unless he is going to take care of them financially. So, and these are some women I have heard say that if he don't pay my car, no, I'm not dating him. You know, like the things of that nature.
Can I jump in for a second? See, this is my personal opinion, but to me it seems like they have a spirit of sugar daddy on them.
Because we
got to be real with this. Men older, especially men my age and older, if they're not mature and they have this sugar daddy mentality, that's actually a spirit of manipulation and control.
Yeah.
Because it's like, I'm paying her bills, she better give me something, or I'm paying her bills, I should be able to see her, even if there's nothing sexual going on. It's like, I'm paying her bills, I should be able to see her whenever I want to see her. Or if I'm paying her car note, or if I bought her a car, you know, she should come see me whenever I tell her to come see me. And that's not a relationship, that's a business transaction.
Right.
So you really got to be careful. And Renee said something earlier, and I was going to ask her to elaborate on it, even though I think I knew the answer. She said her dad said to her, don't take money from a man. So, Renee, why did he tell you that? Did he ever elaborate on why?
Of course he did. Tell me.
Yeah, because he said a man will expect, he has expectations. And
exactly.
So he always told me to make sure I have money in my pocket and to always be able to catch a cab if I needed to.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And the other side of that, too, is that if a man is in this, and we didn't really discuss this, but it's like there's a difference in a dating relationship and a courting relationship. But no matter which one it is, if he's constantly, let's say he's constantly paying her bills or supporting her financially, and then they get married, and then he discovers in premarital class, he's smart, or later on down the line, she don't know how to manage money. Or she broke.
Mm-hmm.
It's like he didn't know she was broke. He didn't know how to manage money because he was always paying for everything. So this is, you know, that's an opportunity for her. That's an opportunity for him to find out how she manages money, where she is financially. But you can't discover that if you're paying, if you're supporting her financially.
Right, Robert. I want to add. I know I said crickets at first. But you guys are giving me started, and I'm going to probably throw some monkey wrenches and everything everybody just said, because they're in a dating relationship that's heading towards marriage, if the fiance is in a situation where she needs help, and if a man is going through that process of getting ready for marriage and everything like that, why would he not help her out? Why would he not help her out? I mean, if he has the ways and the means as a man, and it's been settled that this is the woman that I'm going to spend the rest of my days or the rest of my life, but we're not married yet, but I see her in need and everything like that. I don't care what it is. It could be something small, something major, and I know that I have it. Why would I not help her out? Why would I not invest in her from that perspective? That's why I said quick, is because every situation is different. As a rule, no man wants to take care of, you know, unless they want to be a sugar daddy or they got it like that or their intentions are not good as a form of control. But in a situation where if your heart is already involved in that relationship, and you trust that person, and you got a chance and an opportunity to get to know that person, and you know that they've fallen on hard times, maybe they got sick or ill or whatever, and everything like that, and they're not working, and won't be working for the next 3 months, but you know that they still have this, and if you have the ways and the means, and you say you love her, you would want to show her that you love her from their perspective, that you truly do, no matter what. Because keep in mind, and I'm going to say this, and I'm going to turn it back over to you, Maggie, because I think we're out of time anyway. But keep in mind that even in the Old Testament, when they talk about, what was the word I'm looking for? House to somebody. They were already, from one perspective, already together.
Yeah.
So there was already a responsibility for that the man had to take place for their wife, which is why Joseph had a choice to either continue the way he was or put her away. And he didn't want to do that, to put her away, then she would have got stoned, according to the Jewish laws of that time and everything. So what he did, he took on her, you know. So therefore, that's why I said, even some of the questions, there are some gray areas that is not as black and white as it may appear, you know, because, you know, I'm just saying, but I'm done. Maggie.
That makes sense. That's a starter.
Okay.
It's a starter, something that's a thought, you know, that's really something, a way of looking at things.
Right. Yeah. I mean, we don't know what situation any of us might find ourselves in, you know? I mean, at any given time. You know, and so that doesn't mean that when a person falls on hard time and you are dating the person, and because that person, sometimes you say, okay, well, relationship is over with, can't deal with you. I mean, I'm not speaking to anyone in general, I'm just speaking out loud, you know, and everything like that. I'm speaking out loud because this is real life that we're talking about.
Yeah.
There are people that are going through this right now, you know, and that person is depending on the male or the female, it could be either way, you know.
Yep,
for that, you know,
mm-hmm.
and everything. And with men, Robert, you probably agree with this and stuff like that. But with men, there comes this guilt part that if we're not being responsible of taking care of the person that we say we love, there's a guilt part that comes with that, you know. That, I'm not doing this, and I'm not measuring up, and I need to make sure that she, all her needs, that's a guilt part that comes with it, whether it's self-inflicted or it's inflicted by other outside sources. There's a guilt part that comes with that, you know? And those are the things that we need to be able to talk about. So, okay, look, this is where we are. This is where we're headed. This is what needs to be done and everything like that. Because if I say that I'm in it to the end, and we're disengaged, but I don't have, I'm not looking at the relationship ending or you going separate ways or I'm not doing anything, then let's do it. For better or worse, as they say in the marriage vow, for richer or poor, the better or worse or rich and poor doesn't start after I say I do, actually it starts before there. That's just my opinion. It starts before there because that's the whole courting process. It starts before then. It starts during the engagement period. By the time we get to the altar, we are just saying words that we've already did or meant or whatever, except for the only thing we haven't did it as believer is to consummate the marriage or the sex part of it. But we've already gone through that already. That's just me.
That is, on the flip side of things, based on what you just said, let's put it on the other side. What if the man falls on hard time and the female, should a woman hope? What do you say about that?
Should a woman help? If she is involved or in love or engaged to the man to this point that they would get married, yes, I believe that she should. I believe that she, because it's a partnership. Again, the partnership doesn't start when I say I do. It starts before that, you know. The partnership, and I'm not talking about a business partner or something like that, but the partnership starts before that. It has to, because that's when the relationship is beginning to develop. If you're going to be in a relationship with me and stuff like that, and I fall on hard times, and all of a sudden you say, well, you're on hard times, I can't deal with you, then you don't need to be with me anyway. That means every time something happens, that means that every time that something happens, then you're going to run. You're going to try to escape.
Okay, no, that's good.
I feel like I brought everybody down at the same time.
I think you gave us something to think about because it's a good point, because people tend to do that in relationships. Mm-hmm. And if you say you love someone, then you need to show it. And it's more than one way of showing it. And if I fall through hard times, you're supposed to be my support system. I should be able to come to you and say, I've fallen on hard times, you know, this is what happened. This is what I need. If you can help me, you know, I appreciate it. Or if not even having to ask, but to see it and know that this has happened, that like you said, that proves, you know, to some degree, like we're in a relationship. I'm going to support you through thick and thin because I love you. And a lot of people, they don't get that.
Right. And it doesn't necessarily always have to be. I know we're talking financially. It doesn't necessarily always have to be financially.
And it doesn't have to be that.
You know, it could be that moral support, that prayer, that intercession, that God's going to, you know, that being prophetic, you know. Because what's taking on with the men and with Pastor Tim, what's taking on with men, we are developing our role as priests of our own house.
Come on here.
We're developing our role as priests of our own house, you know. Mm-hmm. So that when those things are affirmed already, I already know that I'm preaching my own house. I already know that the woman or the family or the kids that is in the house are covered under me. They're covered.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, they're covered. You know, it's like that shawl that the Jews use, it's like the prayer shawl. They're covered, man. They're covered, come what may.
Yeah.
They're covered, come what may.
Mm-hmm. That's good. Right.
Like that.
You need a lot of us something to think about, Red. That's a loaded question. That's a really loaded question. And I think we've been good in sharing our thoughts on it. And you never know who we touched in the response and how we responded to that question, because those are a lot of things that people don't get a chance to ask in a normal church service, in a normal platform.
Right.
You know, it's good that we're having this and we're being transparent and we're being relevant and real. And this time, we need it. It's much needed. I think it's 3:14, so we got time for another question, or should we just close out and then continue this next month?
Okay, well, we got 15 minutes. When I scheduled the broadcast, like I told you last time, I scheduled it for an hour and a half. So it's up to you guys.
Okay, so I'm going to ask this question. We're going to do a little twist. What do you like most about dating?
Ooh. I didn't mean it that way.
I was saying ooh because wow, that's an interesting question. Not taking it that way, but like I never thought about that. That's why I said ooh. I never thought about that question like that.
Okay, Renee, you want to start, or you need time to think?
No, really. I think the thing I like is getting to know the person, getting to know them, and just seeing where their head is and seeing where they are as far as their walk with you, getting to know them. But getting to know them and long drive. Yeah, that's it.
Okay. Robert?
I would say that it goes with getting to know. The conversation, I would say conversation. Because with me, I don't know why, but well, I do know why. Communication is key to me. And so I can't, if I start talking to somebody over the phone, you know, getting to know somebody, and every phone call or the first three or four phone calls, I'm carrying the conversation, or we're sitting on the phone for 3 minutes with nobody saying anything, I already know that's not going to work. So, they're not going to get another phone call from me. So it's like, nah, that's it. Because it's like, I got something to do. I got something to do. Or they call and say, hey, what you doing? I'm like, I'm busy. I'm doing such and such. And then that's like, I got a couple minutes. And then we're still sitting there, and it's like crickets, like Greg said. It's like, yo. So conversation is important to me. So getting to know someone, having a conversation, it doesn't even that. Sometimes it doesn't even have to. Well, it is getting to know them. I don't have to know about them directly, but just know how they feel about current events or something that's going on. So yeah, conversation and communications.
So. Robert, can I ask a question based on... I'm sorry. Go ahead, Maggie.
No, you go ahead.
That's kind of funny, Robert. I just want to make sure I understand what you're saying or what you said. So you said if you're on the phone and there's like a 3-minute silence, it's like, okay, we got to go. This ain't going to work out. Did you literally mean that?
Yes, this has happened years ago. So this is what happened because years ago, this was my thing. This is years ago. You meet somebody online, you start chatting, you know, this and that, and you get to the point where you exchange phone numbers. I let them know even probably before the first phone call. Okay, I have Bible study on Wednesday night. I own several businesses. So on Tuesday, I have this business meeting. You know, on Thursday, I do this. On Saturday, I mentor teenagers. I'm writing a book. I let them know this stuff within the first one or two phone calls so they know up front. So to sit on the phone for 2 or 3 minutes, what you doing? Nothing, what you doing? You know, or, so how was your day today? It was okay. It's okay. Oh, okay, did you want to elaborate on how it was okay? I don't have time for that because I got 5 other things to do. So it's like 5 other things I could be doing in this hour. I said, because I sound funny. I may sound cruel, but I'm really not cruel. I just learned. I learned years ago that once time is gone, it's gone. And one thing I learned years ago is if you lose money with enough time, you can make back the money that you lost. But if you lose time, no amount of money that you make can get back that time you lost. So, you know, so don't get me wrong. I can have an hour, 2 hour long phone conversation. But if it's like 3 minutes and, you know, it's like, you know, or... I'm on the phone, we're supposed to be having a conversation, and they're watching TV. I don't know. It's not going to work. It's not going to work.
Robert.
Huh?
What? Or on a date, and they're on their cell phone.
What?
That's, oh, that's
oh.
So
The five love languages. What is your what did you score highest in?
Me? Physical touch. Physical touch.
Okay.
That's not a bad thing.
I didn't say it was. I did not say it was. You're saying, and I'm going to kind of think I'm feeling where Renee was going with the question. You're saying that if there's a 3-second pause, you immediately is like, I can't do this. We're not able to talk. Like, because when
No, I said 3 minutes.
Wait. 3 minutes. But,
right,
okay, you're learning people, and you may like the person, and you're still trying, you know, and you may be, like, three minutes is a little far-fetched. I think you might be exaggerating a little bit, but I get it.
Okay, you haven't been on some of these phone calls from years ago.
You're right. But, I mean, people do that sometimes.
But this is what I've learned through biblical counseling and what I've learned from experience in reading is that everyone is different. People have different temperaments. Everybody doesn't communicate. Everybody's not a conversationalist. You know, that doesn't make them wrong. You know, they may excel in something else. But based on what I need my needs and getting my needs met, there are certain things that I need to accomplish as far as goals that I have. But even in relaxation or in leisure time, I don't want to feel like I'm wasting time because, again, I can't get it back. So it's nothing wrong with the person. It's not that something's wrong with the person. It's just that they're not a good fit for me. That's all.
So I was going to ask, if you guys go out and there's no conversation going on, you guys are just, are you saying conversation has to be going on the whole time you're together?
No, but if I'm saying we're at dinner for lunch in a hour long period, there's only been, 5 minutes of conversation or, just several exchanges of sentences. We going Dutch. No, I'm just joking. We're not going Dutch. I'm going to pay for the bill. But you know, I don't have –
Dutch is good.
I'm not going to continue to do that. See, it's okay to know, and I don't think we did talk about it, and borders and boundaries and parameters. When you know what you want and when you know what you don't want, to say, this isn't for me. You know, hey, I had a nice time. Yeah. You know, I enjoyed myself. You're going to be honest, right? It's like, okay, I had a nice time. Or thank you for accepting this date with me. Appreciate it. You know, have a good night. And you keep it moving. That's all.
Wow. Okay. Who wants to go next?
We're almost out of time. Maggie, but before we do that, listen, I'm going to let me tell you about how I feel about it. Personally, I don't like dating, okay? I don't like dating. It makes me nervous. I feel like I have my foot in my mouth when I'm speaking and everything like that. So I'm not really like dating like that, okay? But and the caller that was just online, just hanging up, I was going to put them online. I'm not sure who it was. I think dating for me should be with purpose, okay? With purpose and everything, so like that. But if I had to say something about, since the question was, what do you like most about dating? I think hearing the person's testimony or listening to them talk about their life is important to me. Just listening to them, you know? I like to listen to what people are saying. And I mean, I don't expect them to give me their whole life history in the first date. I don't want that. But I like Robert, I think Robert has said, just common conversation, you know, and everything. Anything that would begin to calm that energy, because I don't know about you guys, but when I first go on a first date, I'm always nervous, you know, and I use humor to offset that and everything like that. It's my defense mechanism to, you know, calm things down, you know, or whatever and everything. And people use different ways. But this, someone called me tomorrow and said, okay, Ray, we going on a date? I would start sweating bullets, man, you know? I would probably start sweating bullets and stuff like that. Or if I ask someone on a date, you know, and everything like that. And I think that for me, that may be because I was married for such a long time that when I became divorced, it's like everything was new as far as dating. It wasn't the same. The rules had changed. The rules had changed and everything. So that may be the reason why and stuff like that. But anyway, that's my piece. But Maggie, we got about 4 minutes.
Okay, you want to pray us out?
Actually, you know what? I was going to do something a little different. I was going to ask Renee if she can, if she would like. Okay.
Okay. Father, we thank you so much for this broadcast. We thank you, Father, for the questions that were asked, the answers. Father, we thank you for being saved. We thank you for your spirit. We thank you for the sacrifice that Christ made of himself for purchasing us with his blood. We thank you, Father, that we have been redeemed by his blood, that we belong to you. We thank you, Father, that we can come together in the spirit of one accord, just talking, fellowshipping, and sharing and being transparent. Father, we thank you for this ministry of Brother Ray and Sister Maggie. And we ask, Father, that you will continue to bless this ministry according to your will. Father, let those who listen to it get out of it what you would have them to get out of it. And Father, as we go over this weekend, we ask that you would order our steps, for your word says that the steps of a good man are ordered by you. Father, let us be a blessing to whom you will have us to be a blessing to in the way that you will have us to bless them. We ask these things in your son Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Well, thanks everyone again. thank you everyone. This has been an awesome broadcast. It's been a lot of laughs and jokes. I think we're getting better at this. I don't know, Maggie, if you want to do another one. I know people are on time schedules and the schedules are busy, but it's only once a month. So I'm going to leave it in the hands of the main co-host here to decide whether she wants to do this.
Co-host, this is a joint effort. And okay.
What?
I said, I am not the main person. This is a joint effort. And okay.
Okay, that just went by my head, but okay. Anyway, all right.
For those of you who are not busy the next third Friday of November, which actually I think, isn't that Thanksgiving weekend?
Is that Thanksgiving weekend?
I got the calendar right in front of me. 1, 2, 3. No, it's the weekend before Thanksgiving. It's the 19th.
Oh, the 19th, right. So,
to be continued. If you're available, and those who are listening and they'd like to be a part of the panel, they could inbox myself or Ray Rose or Maggie Wilson, and yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Now, someone just joined us. I'm not sure. I think that we lost Robert for a second.
Yeah, I'm back now. So,
okay.
So if you dated multiple people, how do you decide whose house you're going to for Thanksgiving?
I'm sorry. That was funny.
No, you decide who you want to invite over for Thanksgiving.
Okay,
well, that's funny.
Just so y'all know, going forward, I'm not a multiple dating person because I don't have time for all that. I got too much stuff to do, so I can't. I'm a one date person.
Robert, I'm trying to help you, man.
I gotta stop. I gotta I'm on the phone and I got my stopwatch going. No, I'm just joking.
I'm like, okay, I guess you got to go now. Yeah, I don't have anything to say. Bye.
All right. Again, everyone, you've been listening to Matters of the Heart, Singles Ministry. My topic today has been about do's and don'ts and relationship we've had with us, Brother Robert, Sister Renee, Maggie, and I'm Ray. We do this every third Friday of the month. We'll be back next Friday. Next month and everything for the same broadcast. So thank you for listening. If you have any concerns, anything like that, please send us a message. I am us through Facebook on under Matters of the Heart. Also, you can reach out to us at requestandspeak@gmail.com. Visit the website requestandspeak.com and find a little bit more information about what it is that we do, why we do it. Amen. We've been doing this almost like 9 years. It'll be 9 years in September, and my broadcast touched the lives of many people. Like over 140 different nations. That's where our listening base comes from. So we are grateful to God about the single ministry and what God is doing. I thank you, each one of the hosts that's been with me today. God bless you. God bless you. You guys are funny, man.
God bless.
God bless.
God bless.
All right. Yeah.
God bless. Good night.
Good night.
God bless.